Just before we sing our hymn of the month, I want to still invite anybody tired of standing that there's backrest seats right up here in front. And a word about that to let the congregation know we're working all the time on alternative additional services. And we hope by next fall, between house churches and possibly a Saturday night worship or a Sunday night worship, identical to Sunday and all these kinds of things, we're working on our problem. And I simply want to let you know that and be praying with us, because God blesses us with growth, and we feel that He has some creative ways to help us respond without bricks and mortar. And we're just determined through prayer to find that, and I know that it's ahead of us. So during the next hymn, if any of you are tired of standing, please come up here. Let's all stand together and sing Majesty. I mentioned at the beginning of the service, today we're going to deal with that nitty-gritty subject. If you're at a crossroads of decision, you feel confused about tomorrow and don't know where to go, is there a God up there who cares? And can the God who created and runs this universe plug into you personally and give you divine help when you ask? The answer to that question really, in to a large measure, will determine how we live. And I'd have you pray with me that we'll be able to believe the Bible when it makes the promise that there is a God up there, and He does care, and He knows you and cares about you, and He has a plan for your life, and He doesn't want you wringing your hands and being panicked and confused. The future is in His hands, and they're very good hands. Would you pray with me? Father, we ask now that you will take this scripture, the picture of the eagle caring for her young, and your truth, and carve it into our inner hearts to bring peace and calmness and assurance and encouragement to us, your children, who so often wait at the crossroads of decision. We pray this in our Lord's name. Amen. I've been around this congregation long enough to make some observations. One is that it seems certain needs and challenges come in bunches to our church family. And right now, I sense many of us have a need for guidance about our personal future. Many seem to be at the crossroads of decision about their careers. Some of you are facing unemployment, relocation, torn about where to go and what to do, how to decide. Students ask, what school should I attend? What vocation should I pursue? Will there be jobs when I get there? And then parents ask similar questions about their own children. Housewives facing empty nests ask, what should I do now with the extra time that God has entrusted to me? How can I invest my skills? Others coming out of relationships broken by death, by divorce, or even a broken engagement sometimes think about, what's next for me? Those facing retirement seek a place to use their talents creatively, and so goes the list. And if we had time, most of you could add to it. One common factor in all of our searching is a need for a guide, someone to lead us through this wilderness of indecision where God's wisdom is not easily heard and where our pathway is not clear, and we feel frightened and somewhat uncertain. Jamie Buckingham, in his book A Way Through the Wilderness, reminds us of the danger of crossing a wilderness without a guide. Years ago, Episcopal Bishop James Pike ventured with his wife out into the Judean wilderness without a guide. Becoming separated, he wandered alone for several days, and finally his body was found. He died for lack of a guide. A wilderness guide basically has two functions: to show the way when we couldn't find it ourselves, and to find food, shade, and water while the journey is happening. Now, without such aid, death is certain. You and I need a guide for our wilderness experiences of indecision. First, to help us find our way, but then to provide nourishment so we can survive the anguishing, pain-ridden days of waiting and the anguish of decision-making itself. Now, our text illustrates how Moses served as a guide for Israel. If you want to check out these texts, it's important, especially about eagles, that you might want to just keep your fingers in the page as we progress. Moses, remember, had spent 40 years in that wilderness before he ever came to Egypt to deliver the Israelites. Without him, the Israelites would have all died. None of them had ever been in the wilderness before. The Exodus would have been a disaster. Now, Moses' desire was not only to get the Israelites through the wilderness and safely to the promised land. His greater mission was to teach these people how to trust God, how to depend upon his guidance for survival, how to discover the adequacy and the wealth of divine wisdom when they face trials and challenges of wilderness crossroads. Moses' 40 years in that wilderness had taught him something very vital. It taught him that God is trustworthy, that his guidance is certain, and that his love is unfailing, no matter what the exterior happenings might be in terms of what we're facing. Down to the marrow of his bones, Moses knew that his God would never come as a guide with too little, too late, even in the most critical of circumstances. And from this certainty, he says to Israel, in behalf of God, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." The issue we focus on this morning is a question. When it comes to our personal need for guidance in a wilderness of decision and of searching, does the living God play a role? Is he interested in our personal journey? Does he even know I exist? And what's more, does he care? Can I turn to him and expect specific help to meet my need right now? Now, if the Bible is true, and we believe it is, then the answer to these questions on our hearts today is a resounding yes. Yes, God cares. He cares about you, and he knows you, and he guides his children. Yes, he has a plan for our lives. Listen to this promise in the Psalms. "I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I, God, will counsel you with my eye upon you." Listen to the Proverbs. "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will be established." A man's steps are ordered by the Lord, not by chance, not by fate. Do you realize, and if this is the only thing you take home with you this morning, do you realize the God who runs this universe, who created Halley's Comet and all the planets and that myriad of space things out there that we don't even know about, this God takes a personal interest in you. He has an individual plan for your life. He counsels, he teaches, and he instructs you along each new leg of your journey, and we know it because he sent Jesus to prove it. You and I have a guide, a Heavenly Father. And no matter what you're facing today, he loves you, and you can turn to him, and he's going to help you. That's how practical our Christian faith is. Now we might ask, how do we receive God's guidance? Get practical, preacher. How do I plug in to what you're talking about? Well, the Israelites received it through Moses. You and I receive it through biblical wisdom. It means we got to get into that book once in a while. The counsel of Christian friends, through this thing we call the Holy Spirit that I don't fully understand, but that's God with us today, speaking inside of our hearts through an itch that, and a voice and a thrust that we can't describe. We just know it's there. But I believe beyond all else, he speaks to us through prayer. I believe the primary resource for finding divine guidance is to dare to strike up a conversation with God and believe that somehow that cosmic God hears us when we talk to him. One reason many of us are totally frustrated right now is not because we're in the crossroads of decision. It's that we don't dare to believe that God cares about our personal need. And we sometimes almost feel foolish to pray to a wall and to believe that God's hearing that, and somehow that's going to make a difference, that God from way up there is going to come down, and because we pray, he's going to take us by the hand and lead us. I wouldn't have the nerve to tell you that as a congregation, as sophisticated as we are, if the Bible hadn't said it first. You see, that's the only reason we believe it, is because God said it. Maybe it's not only a belief that somehow God doesn't care. Maybe some of us are too proud to ask him for help. We're too proud to pray. We're too proud to say, hey, God, even if you're there, I'm a little embarrassed. I know you think I should be able to make this myself. That's a misconception. God doesn't think you should be able to make it yourself. He wants to be your father, and he's designed you to work in parallel with him. But it's our pride that doesn't want to say, hey, God, it's almost like going to our earthly father. I'm sorry, but I do need your help. I can't make it right now. And there's nothing that pleases God's heart more than when one of his children will do that. But in our pride and stubbornness, we hesitate. My question, why do we wait until we're desperate before we pray? You know, our culture has a favorite cliche. Well, I guess there's nothing left to do but pray. Pray is that last Hail Mary that we throw, sort of like in football, you know, hoping, and that's not a violence to Catholics, forgive me that slur, I withdraw that, but that's a phrase we use in football. And we do that with prayer and with God. And that's not what prayer is at all. It's not a crapshoot, it's a certainty. But do we Christians believe it? I see you smile. You know, I think that hits pay dirt. On Palm Sunday, next Sunday evening, we're calling another all-church family prayer meeting. Why? Because we need God's guidance as a church family. We don't want to make plans without him. We as a staff could sit in our offices and make plans, but we'd fall on our face unless they're God's plans. We believe Jesus does more than save souls. He heals bodies, he heals emotions, he heals relationships, but he also comes and helps us at our crossroads of decision. So we're going to have a whole church prayer meeting, and I hope some of you who are struggling in your valley of decision will come here and let two or three of us pray with you about your need. And together we'll go to God, and yeah, it sounds foolish, but it's the best thing I know for your problem. God's going to answer that prayer. God takes what the world calls foolish and he makes it his power and his wisdom. Now, I want to illustrate from our text how God cares for us in response to our prayers at our crossroads of indecision. I love it when the Bible uses an eagle to illustrate our Heavenly Father's care. The text says, I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. It says we will mount up with the wings of eagles and we'll run and not be weary and we'll walk and not faint. In a previous sermon, I mentioned how eagles fly effortlessly to heights of 25,000 feet. This is what it means to mount up. And they can do that because they instinctively learn to ride the invisible desert thermals. An eagle locks its wings, I'm told, and soars literally over the thunderheads of approaching storms. And they go up so high that when they return, their wings are covered with ice. An eagle is afraid of nothing. They can see 50 miles. An eagle symbolizes how the invisible power of God's presence here on earth available to us can carry us in our crossroad times over those formidable thunderheads of approaching storms. We go right over them. We just lock our wings of faith and trust. And God's thermal lifts us. Now, our text refers to another behavior pattern of the eagle that I think will help you understand how God's going to care for you if you're a doubter. An eagle will build her nest on the face of a cliff, line it with feathers, and lay her eggs. And when her young reach a certain stage of growth, the mother comes to the nest and literally pushes the young eaglet over the edge. Flapping and screaming, the little guy falls down the face of the cliff. And to an observer, and no doubt to the young eaglet, it seems, number one, that his life is totally out of control. And secondly, that its own mother, who seems to love it, is bent on its destruction. Now, as the helpless bird, picture it, plunges down the face of that cliff, his mother is up high watching. Remember, she can see 50 miles. Moments before the crash, the mother eagle instinctively swoops down and puts her body underneath the body of that eaglet. And instinctively, the little bird grasps the feathers of the mother's back with its tiny talons, hangs on for dear life, and rides back to the nest. Now, the little eaglet gets into the nest and says, phew, I'm sure glad that's done. But it hardly takes a breath before the mother has its beak at its behind and pushing it out again. And there it goes down, kicking and screaming and thinking it's falling to its death. And again, the mother swoops in and brings it back to the nest over and over again until finally the young eaglet, it begins to dawn on it what's going on. So instead of panicking, it begins to use the free fall time to strengthen its wings. And instead of fear, it starts to work with the mother. And then that one fall comes, where the mother sees that that little baby is no longer needing her, and she doesn't come underneath there. And there is no crash, because you see, the baby now knows how to fly. Life for everyone at times, and maybe for you this morning, seems totally out of control. Your security is disrupted. And not unlike the frightened eagle pushed out of its nest of security, maybe you feel God is bent on your destruction. Maybe everything that you have planned, that nest of security, those feathers of comfort, have all been blown apart. And you're screaming out of control down the cliff, wondering where God is. Such happenings tempt us to give up hope, to even feel God forsaken. Remember, our definition of a wilderness experience is any event that makes us feel far from God. And moments when we need guidance desperately and we feel we're falling down a cliff out of control, we wonder, why, God, did you bring me this far only to drop me now? Why didn't you just, as Job said, destroy me before I was born? Or why didn't we get this whole thing over months or years ago? Why did you bring me this far and let me down now? However, when the full story is told, over and over again, we find our Heavenly Father, our divine guide, swoops down before we crash, providing resources we didn't expect, and He lifts us so that we can carry on. And when we look back, as Israel in our text looked back to their deliverance from Egypt, we realize all of those happenings came from God, not for our destruction. They came to teach us how to fly. You see, God designed us as His children not to stay in a nest of security. It's hard when I let my girls go away to college, but there's nothing more difficult than having them go away to college than to stay home and remain a child forever in our home. That's not God's plan. You see, you were created to be pushed out of your nest. The nest isn't your home. Can you imagine a great big eagle still sitting in its little nest? They were designed to fly and to soar and to be powerful. But you can't get out of your nest without change and without frightening things happening to you and without falling and feeling. Maybe things are out of control, but at any stage, at any age, God is always doing something new with you. Can you believe that? The purpose of Crossroads in the Wilderness is to learn to trust God and to know that He's a guide who always never comes too little with too late. He always comes with enough, and He will always swoop down before you crash. You know, just as a sidelight, it seems to me in this life we have to learn this lesson so well so we can prepare for the ultimate change, which is death. And you know, someday we're going to get pushed out of the nest of security of this life, and maybe we're going to think we're dying, literally. And we're going to feel awful things are happening to us. And if we've learned to trust God enough through all the other experiences of life's crossroads, when it comes to face death itself, we're going to know this is just another change. And our Heavenly Father is going to swoop down just in time and take us up for our ultimate journey to the promised land. I don't know what crossroads you're facing this morning, but I can tell you this: unless you have change and crossroads and pain and scary happenings, you can't get out of your nest. And it's worse than death to stay in your nest. Worse than death. I hope this knowledge then, that God's in control, that He knows you by name, and that He cares about you, and that He's watching you fall, and He has a plan, and He's going to come through on time. I hope all that knowledge will calm your hearts, that you'll meanwhile do everything you can in your own strength, and then when you've done it all, to sit back and pray and wait upon the Lord And then I promise you, his wisdom and his guidance will come up, and you'll mount up with wings like eagles. And then you will run, and you won't be weary, and you'll walk and not faint. Now, happily, this isn't Walt Gerber just trying to stir up some positive thinking for us this morning to give you all a kind of a false hope based upon my ideas. I want to give you a piece of scripture to take home with you. And this is God speaking. Our Lord said, I will instruct you, and I will teach you the way you should go. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore. But your eyes shall see your teacher or guide, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. I ask you, how much more specific can God get in communicating to you and to me that I know you by name, I've got a plan for your life, and I will guide you. You're not falling to your death, you're falling to a new stage of change. That's going to teach you how to fly. I praise him for that truth, and to his name be the glory. Amen.